everybody.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to this week's episode of A&K on the Runway. And what an episode it was this week.
It's a bit of a doozy, and we're going to get there. But the show has just evolved into Cheap Trick, not the band.
Right. You may say that this episode was the episode that they jumped the shark on. Jumped the shark. It's a term where the point where a TV show gets bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I would agree with this. I think we've lost the point of true design talent. We're to the producer
I don't think we have.
No, I mean, no, there's still a lot of talent. There's still a lot of good clothes being produced. What I mean is the focus from the behind the scenes is just this sort of manufactured drama and drawing that out and getting viewership due to drama and not like the pure talent and competition of the show.
Right.
So how did we get there?
So we kick off the episode with the designers in their individual rooms talking to each other. You get a look at the brothers talking to each other. And then you get a look at the actual sisters talking to each other. And it's really just kind of amazing to see that they are in a room with Margarita and Botany.
Oh my God, Botany. I do that every week.
Margarita and Botany. And the conversation is still literally between the two of them.
Yes.
Even though there are two other people in the room.
I hope that I don't have a lack of self-awareness as grand as these two women. God, if that ever happens, I need you to like have a serious conversation with me.
Deal.
It is just absurd how little they know about themselves or how they're perceived by others.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
So we move on to JCPenney, and they walk up to a display where there are five male models all wearing different outfits, and that gets everybody a little worried because they think it's going to be a menswear challenge.
Which they have done before in one of the very early seasons, like maybe you know, 1 through 4. And they have done a challenge where you have to design an outfit for your fellow designers, which would require someone to design a menswear look.
Right.
They took it out because it was wildly unsuccessful. Not many people can create tailored pants. So there was a lot of camel toe, but for men, I guess. I don't know what that
is. Camel tail.
So there's a lot of that.
But we do learn it is not a menswear challenge, but rather a menswear-inspired challenge. So, at this point, it gets a little confusing.
It was so confusing.
It's really just, they threw curveball after curveball after curveball.
So it turns out there was literally no point for those male models to be there except for some eye candy when they flash them on the screen.
Which, hey, they're just switching the roles around.
Exactly.
Now.
Like we're equal opportunity objectifying people.
Right. We're gonna give the women a voice this season, but the guys, you literally are just gonna stand there and hold cards.
That you flip over.
So each model has the name of two designers on the cards that they're holding. These two designers are going to be using the fabrics that male model is wearing. So we then after that learn it's a team challenge, but it's not the two people that were shown on the cards. The teams are actually going to be chosen by the designers.
By the button bag,
but still by the designers.
Yes.
But you can't work with the same person that has the same fabric as you.
And if your name was chosen out of the bag, you get to pick somebody. So only five names would have been. Well, actually, technically four, because Kentaro got to choose first since he won last week.
Right.
So literally, there, I don't know if we're just doing this as filler minutes. There was literally no point to, one, having the models there, two, having the names of the cards and seeing, except that you couldn't pick someone with the same fabric, so I guess that sort of was that. But there's 10 people, and only two people were working with the same fabric, so there wasn't really necessarily that need to do that in my mind. I'm not sure. I don't think it was executed the same way as someone thought it in their head.
Perhaps. So, like we said, Kentaro gets first pick because he won last week. He obviously chooses Brandon. Amy.
Adorable.
Amy is next. She chooses Kenya. Claire gets drawn next. Obviously, she picks Sean.
How funny would it have been if she's like, sorry, Sean, I'm tired of doing your work for you.
Yeah, you're terrible, so I'm going to go with somebody else. Margarita is next, so she chooses Botany, which leaves Ayana and Michael to be paired together after that.
So the challenge this week is that the teams of two have to create two cohesive looks, and the winning look will be replicated and sold on jcpenney.com. It has to be a stylish fall outfit because it's fall now, and so they're going to sell it, and it will be in select JCPenney stores, probably not the one here in Springfield that nearly shut down, unfortunately.
But they're selling appliances now.
They are selling
appliances. There's a big sign that says so.
The designers do have $100 in which one member of the team can go to Mood and get no-shows, trims, and supplemental fabric, but you really have to be using the fabric that JCPenney has provided.
Right.
They didn't say it was a one-day challenge, but you got that impression once they got to the workroom.
Yeah.
The thing of note from the Mood shopping is it's Swatch's 10th birthday, which is the dog that lives there at Mood.
Yes, and they had a cake featuring Tim Gunn holding Swatch.
It was cute. So in the workroom, let's chat about this for a second.
Sure.
In the workroom, we get, of course, the usual twin antics and just the drama about their creative process. I mean, I don't even think they actually sketched out a design in the 30 minutes.
They kind of did. And so this becomes a running theme of the show. And it's something that we saw starting probably 2 to 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
is that you see Claire doing a lot, and Sean is just kind of standing there and supervising or mm-hmm. critiquing.
Or being like, put that pin there.
Right. Like, when they were doing their sketching for the designs, Claire is literally the only one drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, I'm going to do that. And then Sean is just saying, why would you do that? Like, just critiquing the entire time and providing zero constructive criticism or suggestions.
In a solo talking head, Claire admits that she didn't do well last challenge because she's always helping Sean. And she feels like it would be really nice 1 week just to be able to focus on her own outfit and not having to be constantly assisting Sean. So here's the problem. This is clearly abusive is a heavy term. This is a parasitic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One person is clearly taking more or taking all and not giving anything back.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I have given them so many armchair diagnoses over the course of this season, but I don't know them. I don't know their past life. I have to wonder if there's some sort of bullying element in their time as children in which Sean sort of directs the show and Claire does her bidding for her.
I could see that. Yeah.
You see Claire at a somewhat of a breaking point this episode.
Yes. And including last episode as
yes.
well.
Yes. So, and she's not as... She's not wearing her eye makeup, her winged eyeliner as typical. She's not wearing her pink lipstick. Her pony is not high and, springy. It's definitely loose and coming down. Like, you feel the dishevelment and the frazzled nature coming off of her through the screen.
Yeah, and you can definitely just see it on her.
Yeah. Well. And so it's just this bizarre, again, going back to lack of self-awareness. And like it was last week, the judges are like, this is Claire's duty to stand up for herself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And everyone recognizes it. But I honestly think that none of the other designers care that much about either of these women to step in and help her.
No, not at all.
I wonder if they will watch this season and take any sort of self-reflection.
Like if this could be their...
breaking off.
No longer are one person, but they become two people because of this.
Yeah, like two paths diverged in the snowy wood. God, what's that poem?
Was that Frost?
Robert Frost, yeah.
No.
I totally butchered it. That's not the first line, but...
More on this later, definitely.
Yes. We'll come back to this. I just think it's very interesting that at least there's a glimmer of self-reflection here.
Yeah.
So far, everyone else seems to be working really well. Of course, Brandon and Kentaro are just, you know, loving life as brothers and buddies and living it up.
Mm-hmm.
Margarita's doing a lot of directing of her team.
I don't know if it's as much directing. Like, that was a very weird partnership because I think Botany is very open, at least with Margarita, because I don't think they talk to her, like, hardly at all.
No, she doesn't have very many talking heads.
In her shortcomings as a designer, so... I think, she didn't know how to make a collar, like a men's collar. She didn't know how to do certain things. And I think that...
It's shortcomings in the realm of menswear.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that you kind of just naturally saw, since it's a team challenge, Margarita bouncing back and forth a little bit more. I don't think that it necessarily was direction as much as it was just... kind of constantly helping.
And you only have so much time.
Exactly.
You know. Per usual, the twins are having all kinds of issues with... They have Lyris as one of the models.
And both of their models are...
curvy.
Curvy, some of the plus size models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are probably 10 and up. And so that's a big thing too. The first time that we've seen Sean have a plus size model since... episode 2 or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's issues with the textiles. Like, no one else is having the issues with that waffle fabric, that thermal, fabric. Just all kinds of stuff that you just don't see happen to anyone else on the show.
Mm-hmm. There was a funny moment involving one of the twins. It's when Claire's in the sewing room and she's just talking out loud. There's only one person in there, and it's Michael, and Michael just is working also and not really acknowledging her, and then just, like, finishes up what he's doing and then just walks out of the room, and Claire continues to just babble on about whatever she was talking about.
Right, she's looking down at the sewing machine.
Right.
He finishes up, walks out, doesn't say anything.
And then she looks up, and he's like, oh, well, I'm not talking to anybody more. He's gone. It reminded me of a scene in Tropic Thunder where they're, like, walking through the jungle and Jay Baruchel's character is just talking about Blu-ray versus HD DVD and, like, which one was going to win out. And it was all about, it came down to two things, gamers and porn, and which one would, like, which format would those sides embrace. And it was, like, about, and so... like, he just babbles on and on. And then Robert Downey Jr.'s character just turns to him and says, you've been talking to me this entire time?
I've never seen that movie.
It's one of my favorite scenes of the entire movie. Because it's like, there's so many moments where, like, in just your everyday life, you'll be just, like, that happens. Like, you have somebody talking and you're not necessarily paying attention to it. Like, oh, you were talking to me this whole time? I didn't hear it. Thing that you said.
That happens every day in our household, where I'm usually just jabbering away, and Curtis is like, oh, was that directed at me? So.
Your words, not mine.
I'm just kidding. It doesn't happen. So next we see Tim coming in for his critiques. He starts with Margarita and Botany. He feels that Botany is going in a good direction. He tells them, don't force the fabrics. I think every designer got maybe two or three different fabrics? Maybe just two.
It looked like three.
Okay, so each person had three fabrics. So in total, there's six fabrics to choose from. I think that Margarita thought they needed to incorporate all of them. He's like, no, don't. Unless it makes sense, you don't need to force, you know, the use of the different fabrics.
Right. Kenya and Amy are working on a denim pantsuit, as well as a look that it was kind of hard to understand. They're making a separates, but it's supposed to look like a whole dress. Tim seemed pretty positive about everything when you talked to them.
Mm-hmm. He just advised them against having the blouse look matronly.
Right.
Tim had a positive response to Michael's dirt dress, but he feels like Ayana's dress looks like a hospital gown, which it did. Unfortunately, she has this fabric that is so...
It's a dress shirt. It's small print dress shirt.
Yeah, which would look good in a button up.
It looks good in a dress shirt.
But all, like, a long part of it just looks... Again, just so hospital gown. Like, I'm like, nope, that's your standard, right, you know, pattern that they try to make people feel better.
Yep. Tim moves on to who he calls the dream team of Kentaro and Brandon.
Which really upsets everyone else.
Yeah. But he's not exactly wrong.
No.
I mean, they've kind of been 1-2 the last, like, 2 weeks.
Couple weeks, yeah.
They are working on this kind of sport casual look. They want it to be sexy, but with men's elements. But Tim is a little worried. Mm-hmm. He, in what they're at now, he didn't see that a whole lot of cohesion, that none of the pieces really worked together all that well.
And that he didn't feel like they could work on standing alone, that it was so reliant on the overall look and right, for the sellability of it, I think, was a factor.
Yeah.
The last team he talks to is Claire and Sean, and he just feels like this is so bad.
They're just so all over the place,
yeah,
that I didn't know what to make of this critique. Like, they were saying things without saying anything.
Well, and they were trying to talk over each other. I mean, if I was Tim, my head would have exploded because they're trying to talk over each other, then about each other's looks and the whole thing, and trying to explain the inspiration. And it was just overwhelming. And then Claire tried to put this bandeau top. It was like a bikini top over a t-shirt. And Tim was like, do you feel this look? Look at this.
Right.
Stand back and look at this.
And it was, the t-shirt itself was two different.
It was two-toned.
Two-toned down the middle.
And the bandeau
top. And the bandeau was two-toned.
Two different fabrics. And one was patterned and one was, I think, gray.
And I don't, yeah.
And you're like, well, have you ever seen anyone wear this? Is that fashion forward? Would you ever wear that? It was so bizarre.
Right.
And so Tim really, this is the most sort of concrete direction, like, do this, I've ever seen him.
Yeah, give. I've never seen that either. And he literally tells them, you should probably make a pant with that and make a tunic with that.
And put it on this model. And then you need to go to this look. And Claire is just like, I don't agree with any of this.
Yeah.
Like, she is so smug and arrogant, and for someone that has been in the bottom and has been told that she's not a fashion-forward designer and her designs are boring and that she doesn't have a voice, she's so smug about what she's doing. It's bizarre.
Right.
And so they go back to the break room and start drawing again.
Yeah.
It is, and I have no idea how much time has passed. It seems like it has to be a good amount because some people have things that they were showing to Tim.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to at least be a couple hours. So if you're, say, this is a 10 or 12 hour day, it has to be at least a quarter of the way to a third of the way gone.
Right.
So just bonkers that the fact that they can't take these fabrics and create a stylish fall fashion forward look.
Mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, especially towards the end of the day, Kenya and Amy's partnership is strained and somewhat in trouble.
Yeah, I think they really tried to amp up the drama between the teams.
Yeah.
Drama!
And they were really kind of reaching on it. Like we mentioned earlier, like the thing with Botany and Margarita. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they got played up a little bit in that they tried to make it seem like Margarita was doing all the work.
Right, where she was really just doing some, like,
just specific, like...
The collar.
Yeah, very little bits of
what
Botany was doing.
But Amy is frustrated at Kenya because Kenya is pleading a piece that's a backup piece and she should be finishing something else. It wasn't super clear to me.
No.
As to what the issue was. Like it was manufactured.
It was like she needed to finish some pants for a look, which I think we've seen in this show is that these people can turn out pants in like half an hour.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that big of a deal. And then the next day,
they're still annoyed at each other.
Yeah. It was like Kenya made an adjustment in one of their looks without running it by Amy first.
Yeah.
And
we didn't get enough of the early goings for them to know why things were going south.
Right.
So it was weird and strained and they were annoyed at each other and Kenya was huffing a lot.
Right. You don't really see much drama with Brandon and Kentaro, which you kind of figured.
Right.
And you don't really see anything about Michael and Ayana.
Yeah.
So
no. You can
they're probably
assume
safe.
They're safe.
They're safe.
Yeah. On runway day, nothing's really happening of note in the 2 hours before the runway. I mean, there was a point in the workday where when Sean was still trying to generate even an idea, she was going to just base a look off what Kentaro did in that dance-inspired challenge. And people were really kind of miffed about that.
Yeah.
That didn't go anywhere. And so, again, I feel like who knows what was going on.
I think this is just a constant buildup to what we see.
Something's going to happen.
At the very end of this episode.
So, our guest judge today is Asia Kate Dillon, who is an actress on the Showtime series Billions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Showtime. So I've never seen it, and I've literally never heard her name before.
But at least it's not some
16-year-old
girl.
She looks to be over the age of 20.
Right.
And had good critiques, so I approve.
Yes. I was a little curious as to how the immunity would work out this episode, but we do learn that Kentaro does have immunity. So I guess that meant if between the two of them, if somehow Brandon and Kentaro ended up on the bottom and the last team in,
Brandon's out.
Goodbye, Brandon.
And that wasn't really brought up because I think everyone was like, the likelihood of that happening. Because in past seasons, they're always like, you're working with a designer with immunity. Aren't you nervous?
Right.
So I think since Tim called him the dream team, he wasn't going to then bring up the fact. Yeah.
And I think I've only ever seen immunity really come into play like one time in the time that we've watched it together. I can remember specifically saying, like Heidi saying, it's a good thing you had immunity this week.
I've seen it a couple seasons prior to us starting to watch it together to where it's like, it's too bad you paired up with the person with immunity. They would have gone home and now you are.
Ouch.
It happens in Top Chef a lot.
Yeah.
So, starting the runway, we have Ayana and Michael's two-piece collection coming down. Ayana's look is first. It is a asymmetrical shirt tunic, let's say, because it's over burgundy ankle pants with some weird, I have no idea. It's just a black, maybe a 8-inch panel.
It just looks like black patches.
Yeah, black patches all the way around, right above the knee.
Yeah.
I do not like this. The fit is so poor on this. That pattern is still hospital gown because it has a high neck.
Mm-hmm.
It has like an asymmetrical turned collar. And then it does belt at the waist. So it's like hospital gown robe.
Mm-hmm.
It's overstyled. I mean, she gave her sunglasses and a big handbag. And she does have a... I don't know if you would call that a hijab or a headscarf.
Just a head wrap.
It has a head wrap on. The pants are weird and they don't fit well either.
No.
Like, it kind of makes her look like a crazed 50s housewife or something. It's just not a good look. And she's loving it.
Yeah. I agree with everything you say. It still looks like a hospital gown. The big sunglasses when she first came out, I was like... She looks like somebody that got done with plastic surgery.
Yes!
And it's like it's a celebrity, and they don't want people to see them, so they like just cover up as much as they can.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't look good at all. Like, I thought that side collar thing is actually really interesting and a really good idea, and it just falls apart from the neck down. It just looks very, very messy.
It is. That's the thing. It is messy.
And then Michael creates... somewhat of a similar look.
Mm-hmm.
He also used the dress shirt type material and a dress shirt inspiration. Basically the same thing, a dress shirt collar with a tie around the waist. It's very high slit. He made a basic blazer jacket with very similar black patches on the sleeves. Again, I don't like the very hospital gowny. Like with those pattern shirts, you have to form fit them or else they're gonna look like hospital gowns. The blazer doesn't really add much to it. There's not a whole lot of design to this entire outfit.
No. She looks kind of like a bag lady. Like she is, I don't love this model's walk, and I know that's a weird thing to say, but she kind of has a slouchy walk. So with her head, her hair is piled on top of her head. She's got a wide headscarf on as well, sunglasses, carrying a big handbag. She's kind of like slouching down the runway, and then she has socks on with booties. So it's like, and then it looks like a coat almost because the proportions are weird between the long shirt dress and the blazer. And so I'm like, oh, this sounds so mean, but she's just missing a shopping cart and she could just be sort of without a home.
Yeah.
And so it's just too blousy and they don't go well together. And so it concerns me that both Ayana and Michael are like, this looks so expensive.
Right.
It looks really good. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Kenya's look walks the runway next. I don't get the concept that this would be, while it is separates, it looks like one dress because it definitely looks like separates to me.
Yeah.
I like the top because I would wear it. It is kind of a mock turtleneck, long sleeve, silvery gray. There's a keyhole and then the mock turtleneck turns into a tie. So it has two long ends on it and in the same silvery fabric, except at the ends of the tie and the cuffs, there's black fabric. Then there's just a very basic pencil skirt with a angled pockets and gold buttons around the pockets. Pencil skirt goes to the knees. She's wearing basic black pumps and it's just so simple. The fit as well is very good. And good tailoring, but there's nothing innovative or fashion forward. Like, I feel like you could already find this at JCPenney's.
Probably.
I do agree with the model's assessment that it's kind of sort of a flight attendant.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, completely agree with what you said. I like the fabric choices. Everything looks like it fits very well. There's some button embellishments around the pockets that I think break up just the black of that skirt a little bit. But yeah, overall, there's not a ton to it, but I like it overall. Yeah,
I mean, I'd wear it.
Up next is Amy's look. And they stuck with the denim jumpsuit, and this is just a really, really weird look. It's, I mean, your basic denim pants, and then the blazer, if you will, is very weird neck. It's a very swooping U-necked, and then there's like almost like lapels coming down, like very, very lapels. Long lapels coming down. And it's all light blue. This looks like it's very glam rock. It looks like something that David Bowie would wear.
I could see that.
I don't like it all that much.
I think this is the first look of Amy's you don't like.
The stitching work is cool. Like mm-hmm. There's some
top stitching.
Some top stitching, which I always appreciate. But overall, this is a pretty big miss for me.
Yeah, this is awful. Like I've said before, Amy doesn't live in this century. Like, she's never designed anything for a modern woman, and this is no different. The lapels are awful. They're like droopy dog ears. Oh my gosh. It reminds me a lot of, God, what's Evan Rachel Wood's character on?
Westworld,
oh my gosh, yes.
Dolores,
yes, because the same color and it's the same neckline sort of thing on the top of this. And then there's this weird peplum sort of pleating at the bottom of the jacket. And she's got these gold buttons, the same that were on Kenya's skirt, going all the way down. And it's so much chest for a model that doesn't have a ton of cleavage. It's just a lot of flat chest.
Mm-hmm.
The pants fit somewhat well, but this is just, the look is off. And no one's going to buy this because this is, I could wear that to a meeting.
Yeah.
You just look ridiculous.
For sure.
Next is Kentaro's look. I'm going to start from the bottom up. So in the thermal sort of waffle fabric, he's created leggings, and it's a light gray, almost a cream colored. Then he has a black spaghetti strap tank dress. I can't tell if the sort of white halter tank underneath is part of the dress or if it's a separate piece.
It looks separate to me.
And then
you can never tell.
Yeah, you really can't tell. And then there is a almost, is that a gingham? A large scale gingham print in a light blue, light pink. And he's made a jacket, a three-quarter sleeve jacket out of it. I think this is really cool. It's very effortless. All four looks that came before this seem so heavy in effort and weighed down with the effort of it. But this is very light. I would definitely wear this. I love the jacket. Everything's made really well. The tank dress and the leggings go together really well. They're very now, and it's a nice pop of color with that gingham print. And it's definitely sellable.
Right. I agree. I like the layers. I like the play on the layers. I think they got really lucky with their fashion, with their fabric combos.
Yeah.
Especially that gingham. That gingham was the money fabric in this entire competition, I think.
No one else used it, but someone else would have had it.
The twins had it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, they didn't use it hardly at all, as we'll get to later. But that was going to be the easiest thing to work with to kind of blend the menswear and womenswear together. But yeah, I mean, this just looks very, very comfortable and definitely a good fall look.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we have Brandon's design. It is a crop top hoodie, and there's an overcoat with it that is in that same gingham pattern. And the model is also wearing black leggings, and over the top of them are these black shorts with inseam pockets, external pockets. I don't know however you want to call those. What Aaron did every single yeah. episode last season. I don't like the shorts over the leggings as much this week. They don't look quite as good. Like last week when Kentaro did it, kind of like I said, it looked like this, there was a sweatshirt tied around the waist, and it kind of looked natural. This looks like, as a cross-country runner, we would do winter running, and you would wear your running tights, and then you would put the shorts on over.
I was literally just thinking that it's what would happen in high school track when it was really cold outside, but you still had to wear your uniform.
Right. I don't see a crop top as fall, but overall, it's very cohesive between the two looks, and you can do a lot of mixing and matching with all of these pieces.
Yeah. I think that this is really cute outside of the shorts over the tights. I think if we didn't do like cross country or track, maybe we wouldn't go instantly into that. But it's a good balance with the duster jacket and the crop top. So there's not, it's not like weighed down. It doesn't look like the Olsen twins of just being laid down with all these layers.
Right. And when they were describing what they were going to do and put this duster jacket over the hoodie, I was like, that's going to look weird. Like,
yeah.
It's going to look homeless. It's going to look...
Right, like put layering. On all your layers. Yeah. Yeah. And the models loved it, and, you know, so that helps. So they're really, like, kind of rocking it on the runway. So I think it's a good look. And again, I don't know if this is as sellable as Kentaro's in total, but altogether, it's really good. The next look comes from Claire, and it's kind of a hot mess. So she made this two-toned t-shirt. So the right side of the t-shirt is just this basic gray, I assume it's like a cotton fabric. The left side. Yeah, it's always the left side. The left side is a forest green, let's say. Almost looks like a satin. And then she put this weird ruffle on the sleeve of it. And then she used, to me, this is, it doesn't look like denim, this fabric. It's so light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a very light denim. And she tried to make, she said that she was making a cross between jeans and trousers. And I don't understand.
Yeah.
But they're so baggy and slouchy. And like, they don't fit her well. And then she has an unfinished hem, which looks like a mistake rather than the trend of the unfinished hems. Like, for some reason, hers just looks wrong. And then around her waist, they made this belt, what was going to be that bandeau top they're going to put around this t-shirt. They just put it around in a belt, which was Kentaro's suggestion, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thermal fabric and that gingham print that Kentaro and Brandon worked with. But they just made it as sleeves and then tied it around her waist and stuck sunglasses in there. It is bizarre. It's weird. The shirt is... Those two fabrics don't go together. So then to create this down-the-middle t-shirt, all I could think of is Face Off, that Nick Cage movie.
Right.
So... And it's not enough. There's no excitement. There's no fashion element to this. It's just like you would wear this if you're going to fly on an airplane because it's so comfortable, you know?
Right. Which I appreciate that about it, I guess. Like, if, in terms of reproduction value, maybe. I liked the pants. I thought the pants looked good. And, but that sash, sure, whatever. I mean, it doesn't add anything. You're not going to sell this look, though, because
no,
it's not a look.
It's not a look.
It's just pieces.
That t-shirt would never sell.
And that t-shirt's dumb. It's, I mean, not only is it just plain, like it's just a t-shirt, but it's just not well thought out at all. Like, why would you look at that and be like, yep, that's a good look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, satin and cotton, sign me up.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like, as a look, outside of the, you know, the weird t-shirt, I think this looks okay, but it's, the t-shirt just ruins it for me.
My brain's starting to bleed.
Up next, we have what Sean put together, and it's just a pretty simple sweatshirt dress. I get what she's going for here. Like, it looks like a gigantic sweatshirt that, you know, gigantic men's sweatshirt that got turned into a dress. She also did this really weird embellishments where there's like the forest green fabric, there's a tie on the left shoulder, And then basically from the bottom of this skirt up to the armpit and then back down that sleeve on the right side is the same forest green ties. I mean, it looks pretty well made. But it's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And those green tie things were pointless and they don't look good.
No, it's so... It feels like costumey almost because she's got on these knee-high boots and those almost feel like they're the real star of this look. And literally, it's just a shirt dress made out of waffle fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is nothing sort of elevated, fashionable, nothing about this. And it's just so simple. I mean, overall, like you said, yes, it's well made in the sense that at least they tried to highlight, you know, it's not just this shapeless sort of thing because it has those ties, but it just feels weird. We have the last team down the runway, and Botany's look is first. She has created a sort of tuxedo-inspired velvet dress. I love the color. It's deep burgundy, and that's perfect for fall. I didn't truly get the tuxedo inspiration, I guess, from the top of it, because you can't tell, you don't see enough of a tuxedo. It just looks like four buttons, you know. But it's well made. The fit is good. To me, the proportions felt a little off. I don't know if you felt that. To where she put the waist seemed a little high.
Yeah, I could see that.
It should have been a little lower, then maybe get more of the tuxedo, but there was just something I couldn't put my finger on about it.
Yeah. I did like this. I thought it looked very good. Mm-hmm. I liked the color as well. I see the inspiration. I didn't get tuxedo as much as I got smoking jacket.
Okay, yeah, I could see that, just especially the velvet.
Right. But yeah, I mean, everything looks really, really well made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great look overall. Like, just it's the combination of the two things, I think, went together very, very well.
For sure.
And then you get Margarita's look. And she also did a shirt dress. And this is what Michael and Ayana needed to do.
Yeah, fitted.
Because it's fitted. And it's kind of almost a wrap dress. It is kind of slightly off center to the right.
Mm-hmm. It's ruched at the waist.
Sure. And then from going from the left shoulder down to that ruche is buttons, kind of like a button up shirt. The more I looked at this, the more I liked it. And the more I could see it as kind of the combination of the two dresses. Like, I have seen dresses in this style before that look really, really good. And then you kind of just keep looking at what Margarita has made here, and you really see the blending of the men's style with that dress. And even the cuffs on this mm-hmm. dress are like cuffs on a men's shirt. So at first I thought it was a little too simple, but again, like I see, the more I look at it, the more I really appreciate this design.
Yeah, at first something felt off. That's something I didn't like. Like, it felt like there was puff sleeves, but I think it was kind of just sticking up or something as she was walking. It fits her really, really well. I like the slit in the back and the slit kind of the front, so you sort of see a peak of skin. You have a nice... It falls really nicely on her legs. Like, it's not something you could wear, like, work-wise. It is a little too short, I think, for that. But it's nice for just, like, not even going out or going to lunch or going to dinner or mm-hmm. something like that, to where it's, like, still nice and still sort of formal-ish in a sense. But it's really well done. Like I said, at first I was like, oh, I don't know. But I think you're so used to seeing a dress shirt and it being straight. And so it sort of kind of takes you off guard a little bit. So it's awesome.
Right. So
my top two teams would be Brandon and Kentaro and Margarita and Botany. And I have Kentaro as the winner. The bottom two, I have Amy and Kenya and Claire and Sean, with Claire being out.
I have Margarita and Botany and Brandon and Kentaro as the tops. I didn't pick individual. I thought that Margarita and Botany would win, though. Mm-hmm. I have Kenya and Amy and Michael and Ayana on the bottom, and I think Michael and Ayana will be out.
Okay.
So we learn that Michael and Ayana are safe. So there's really not a whole lot of guesswork after that. Margarita and Botany and Brandon and Kentaro are top, leaving the twins and Kenya and Amy on the bottom. So we get into the judging. First up is Brandon and Kentaro. The judges really loved the effortlessness of their looks. They really liked the versatility of it. It's very casual. And they thought that this was by far the most cohesive look of everybody's.
They discuss Margarita and Botany's looks next. Heidi loves both looks, but she especially loves Margarita's gingham dress. She thinks it's really nice. The fit is great. The asymmetry is good. Zach said the velvet dress would be tricky to sell. And I don't know if it's strictly the fabric or the reproduction. I'm not sure. He didn't elaborate. He said Nina thinks that the two looks together are just polished and sophisticated. And Asia felt that they were comfortable and effortless. And so they asked both teams that if they won, who should be the winner. Brandon and Kentaro were like, well, it's up to you. They wouldn't say.
Right.
And then you could tell Margarita really, really wanted to say me. But, and I kind of felt like Botany should have stepped in and be like, she did a lot of work on this.
Yeah, I could have seen that where she's, you know, Botany coming in saying, well, she really helped me out with this part or whatever. Yeah.
But it's fine.
And I'm curious how much of Margarita's responses
were because
everybody was just head over heels for her dress.
Yeah, raving about the gingham dress more so than the velvet dress. The velvet dress felt sort of like an afterthought in the judging, honestly. Yeah.
So we move on to the twins. And this is, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Zach so passionate in a negative way.
He was scathing.
I mean, he says this is trashy. It's uninspired. It's banal. He said that t-shirt was just an awful design.
Mm-hmm. That the jeans had a dumpy butt on.
Right. Nina or Asia said that like everything just felt like felt like everything was just an afterthought. And she was just very confused about everything.
Mm-hmm. Nina thought it was boring.
Right. And Heidi makes a really good point, I think, in that what the twins wear themselves is very on trend, but that never really comes through in their designs.
That they never design anything that's trendy. I think, was it Nina or Zach that said they don't have a brand?
That was Zach. That was Zach continuing to be fired up.
And then Claire was like, and then Sean conceded, well, maybe it'll take time for us to develop our brand. And Claire's like, you need to sink down to that.
Right.
You need to agree. And so she's just so mad that how dare they question her? How dare they question their designs or find flaw in it?
Yeah.
And they ask who should go. And Sean says she'll sacrifice herself. And I was like, oh, it's not really a sacrifice.
Nah.
Like that? Come on now. And Claire's like, I'm leaving to the judges. She's just so, I'm surprised Zach or Nina didn't yell at them or yell at Claire specifically for just her blatant bad attitude and sort of disrespect to what they were saying.
Yeah.
Lastly, they speak with Amy and Kenya. They feel like Kenya's look is just too boring, nothing new or special. Amy's is not modern or new. They really lambast Amy's.
Yeah.
Asia said that the two looks together were like flight attendant rejects from the 70s. Zach says Amy's taste is just wackadoodle next to a snooze fest of Kenya's. Heidi feels like the styling is old, the suit is so old, and it's just church looking. They ask who should go, Amy just says automatically she should go. You know, she created the suit they didn't like. But Kenya won't give a straight answer, and they sort of like needle her about it. Heidi's like, I'm confused. You don't want to go, but you won't say that Amy should go. And I'm like, do you really have to do this?
Yeah, I thought that was overkill. Like,
yeah.
She's like, I'm confused. I was like, there's nothing confusing about this. Like, this is an honest, this is the most honest answer that you can give is that I don't want to leave, but I also don't think that they should leave either. And I feel like Kenya was probably just sitting there just like, it's one of the twins.
Yeah, so because while they were talking with the twins, she had covered her face sort of probably out of to not laugh.
Well, both of those segments of who do you think should go were just beyond awkward and so painful awkward. To watch because people just kept talking. And it's like, shut up. Stop talking. Just say, yes, me. Whatever.
I'm just so surprised there has not been sort of any sort of confrontation from any of the other designers to the twins, whether on the runway or in the kiss and cry area. You know, it's shocking to me, and it's only because the level of maturity of this group of designers.
Right. So we get into the closer looks. And something I wanted to point out earlier, but I'll just do it now, is that I think that just about everybody failed at this competition.
As far as
men's inspired.
Inspired, yeah.
Except for the team of Margarita and Botany.
Agree.
They Most were the only even. Ones yeah. that really did this well.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
And that wasn't mentioned in the judging.
Right. Like, I liked what Brandon and Kentaro put together, but I think it was one of the twins kind of made a good point in saying, like, athletic wear and casual wear doesn't automatically equal menswear inspired. It's just, you know, that's just, women wear that just as easily. Like, mm-hmm. it's very unisex. And... Ayana and Michael tried but failed miserably. I didn't see the menswear aspect of Kenya's look, especially.
No, nothing. Just because you have long ties doesn't right. make it
menswear. And I think that they just took it as, oh, these were the fabrics that were used in those menswear designs, mm-hmm. so... That's the inspiration that we used.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't any thought process beyond they're using the same fabrics as the stuff that was in the menswear. So, I think that Margarita and Botany should have won just off of that alone because they were the one that best exemplified the challenge.
That's a good point. No, I agree with you. When the twins go back into the room where the designers are hanging out in... They are just so mad, particularly Claire. And then Amy's like, we don't agree with anything the judges said. They're like, no, they don't. We were trying to bring style to JCPenney's. And you raise this point. They think they're above JCPenney.
Yeah, they really tried to make it clear in their judging critiques that they were designing for the younger woman. And I really think that they have it in their mind that the only people that shop at JCPenney are like women of 50 and above.
Yeah. I mean, they're so out of touch.
Which, I mean, isn't necessarily wrong, but it's just like any other department store
right.
where you're going to find, they carry clothes for everybody. Like,
yeah, like this isn't really... are awful.
Like this isn't going to be some store in New York where, you know,
yeah.
it's tailored specifically towards a certain age group. This isn't American Apparel or something like that.
Yeah. Listen, Topshop and Zara, they don't need Project Runway. You know who needs Project Runway?
JCPenney's.
Like, you know, so we got to sort of recalibrate our expectations here.
Right. So, the winner of this challenge is very obvious. It's Margarita. everybody was just fawning over her shirt dress when it was getting critiqued. So she wins, rightfully so. I would say that was probably the best look of the entire challenge. And this is where we get into difficult territory.
Yes. Okay, before we go in, I was very worried that Amy was going to be out for your sake. But I think she...
I wouldn't have cared that much. I mean, it wouldn't have been like I was going to stop watching the show. Like,
well, you were so hoping that... that she would have a positive interaction with the judges at some point.
I guess so. So, Amy and Kenya are safe.
Yes.
So, it is now the twins, head-to-head. Who's going home? And then we literally get that they're going head-to-head to see who's going home. They say that there's not enough here to decide... who needs to go home and who...
because they don't know who did stay. What. They cannot tell between the two designs presented on the runway who actually was responsible for what. Especially because they won't say. So they need to see what they can each do individually. So they have 1 hour to create a new look. The fabric's up in the workroom waiting for them. Same challenge, same parameters. But they can't help one another. And Heidi's like, I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to. You can't help one another. And I thought neither of them moved. I thought that they were just going to boycott it, personally.
Yeah.
And like, and be like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
At which point, I would have just loved to see what happened.
This is so gimmicky.
This is such BS.
Because we all know who should be going home. It should be Sean. Sean's worthless.
Or just both of them at this point.
Or both of them. Yeah. Yes. They've been one contestant all the way up until this point. Why not keep it that way and just send them both home?
And here's the thing. Then it fades to black and a to be continued. And I'm like, don't do this. This isn't The Bachelor. This isn't some garbage television show. At this point, it kind of has turned into that. But why? Just finish it out. First of all, take out the model mirrors, take out the confusing fabric choice, and just finish out this episode. Because you know what's going to happen? Next week is going to get, it's going to get drawn out, and so we have less time for the challenge. And we're going to have to hear the reaction of whatever twin is spared, and how, and the focus is going to be on her in the workroom, and her on the runway. And I swear to God, if she has some redemption arc...
what if there's a what if it's a Tim Gunn save?
Oh,
what if we went through all of
God.
This just to get the Tim Gunn save?
I would stop watching. I'm serious. We would do a weekly podcast, but talk about whatever we want.
I don't think that'll happen because
I think he hates them.
Yes. So power rankings. Number 5.
Michael. I kept him because he was my number 5 from last week. I was really disappointed in his design for this week, but I'm not moving anyone else in.
I have Kenya. Not the greatest showing this week, but not enough to say for me to say, maybe what she's done before this wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
My number 4 is Amy. Took a big hit this week.
I still can't believe you have her in your rankings.
This was not a good look at all.
She's never put forth a good look.
She has. You just hate her for some reason.
I don't hate her. She just, again, she isn't designed for the 21st century. She is stuck in the 80s and 90s.
I have yet to see something from her. She's not like just some one-trick pony, though. Like, she has.
But that doesn't mean what she does is fashionable.
Maybe, maybe not. I think we'll see. Like, she's still around. Maybe once we get past all these gimmicky challenges and she can make stuff.
I'm not convinced.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
My number 4 is Kenya. Like I said, this poor girl has been so close on winning and then she has a bad challenge. And I don't know what happened between her and Amy as far as like the end of their pairing, but she makes good clothes and it's tailored really well. You know, she knows how to fit clothes, so there's that. My number three is Margarita. I think she also tailors and fits clothes and has good designs. So I'm hopeful that she doesn't have another week like last week with the Aaliyah inspired look.
Yeah, she's my number three as well. I think last week was more the exception rather than the rule. She's made everything up until that point. And really, even that, like those pants were atrocious, yeah. But her model liked what she made. So,
right.
And you can't really fault her for that. But yes, she has made some very, very good looks, and she finally got a win. So I think she definitely is one of the top designers. My number two is Brandon. Yeah, my number two is Brandon.
My number two is Kentaro, so I think we just have the Dream Team reversed in our power rankings.
Right.
I think now they've hit their stride. They're probably going to power through. I mean, now, well, we still have 10 designers left, but now we're getting into the single digits, and so we're sort of, unless, and there's not going to be immunity at a certain point coming up here, but unless one of those two just has a major, major misstep, I think they're locked for Fashion Week.
I could see this week coming up as being Brandon's downfall.
Oh, interesting.
Because after we get the drama of the twins face-off, we learn what next week's episode is actually going to be about. And the designers are going to be designing for friends and family members of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
So we always get one of these kind of everyday person.
Yeah, like a makeover sort of challenge.
So yeah, I don't see Brandon's oversized street look really being all that translatable.
What happens if someone wants a cocktail dress?
Yeah, especially if somebody's like, that's not me at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So I think next week maybe Brandon's test. Right.
We'll see. So next week we'll be reporting on this head-to-head continued nonsense. I swear to God, if they spend half the episode on this and don't leave enough time for the actual new challenge, that'll be a real disappointment.
I could see the first half hour being that.
So then you only have 30 minutes for the challenge?
I thought it's an hour and a half long, I thought.
Maybe I don't know what I'm watching.
I think it's an hour and a half long.
Okay.
So, but still, I mean, especially with a challenge like this, that's a lot to jam into an hour.
It is. What I hope will happen, but definitely won't happen, is that they both suck so badly that they're just like, nope, see ya. You're both done.
You're both terrible. Yeah, how have we kept you around this long? Right.
Collectively and individually, you're both terrible.
However, interesting to bring up, we still haven't gotten that major controversy.
So here's what I think happens, that I think actually will happen, not what I hope happens, that they're both like, you know what, I don't care about the rules. And then Claire goes over and helps Sean so that she has something to finish and show. And then the producers are like, hey, no one else is in the workroom.
But Michael was the one. I mean, I'm pretty sure that in the beginning of the season, Michael was the one that brought that up. So he wouldn't know that if nobody else is in the workroom.
If there is a tin gun
save. So there's going to be something else. I really don't think he saves them. And if he does, that will be the biggest waste of one. Like, it'll be like, that will legitimately be like, okay, we know what this show is about.
Yeah,
now.
It's producers. Maybe they. No, she would have said this, that they get a helper. She would have already said they get a helper.
Yeah.
The whole point is to see individually what they can do. So.
So.
I don't know. These are all theories.
Who knows? We will see in the coming weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
So we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.